Man, it's good. I think I see Brother Bill back there. Awesome. Good to have him on Wednesday night. Good to see Noah back from short little vacation. And everybody is important to us. I know that we're negotiating our way through COVID, and we're trying to behave ourselves so the governor will like us a lot and keep the restaurants and the churches open. Praise God. I hate it when they close them restaurants down. Help me, Jesus, but especially the church. Let the restaurants be closed, but let the churches be open. Amen. All right. Thank you. Thank you, praise team, so much. Brother Thad, his amazing praise team that he heads up. This every week we've done something different. We've gone a different direction. Tonight will be no difference. You know, we'll still flow with that. In other words, we're going to go another new and fresh direction. But Lord, we lift you up over this panel. We lift you up in this part of the service. We lift you up. You said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And so we seek to exalt your heart, exalt your word, exalt your purposes, Lord. Be a blessing through your people, through these panelists tonight. In Jesus' name, it shall be so. Praise God. This is fresh. The blessing and the challenge of youth ministry. I was brainstorming in a phone call. You know, often when I brainstorm, all I get's a light drizzle. I don't get the full storm. And so I was brainstorming with Brother Sievert, and it was an insight that he had that the men that we had chosen this week, everybody, by the way, has just been so amazing on this panel. I mean, Brother Thad over here has blown our minds for weeks. We just discovered this is one of his wheelhouses. Praise God. We're going to give him a little rest tonight, but there's different ones that have just so stood out, and everybody's been such a blessing as they opened their hearts. But it was his insight, and I'm going to add to it, that the three men that we had chosen to be on the panel tonight have all either are or have been youth directors, youth leaders in their respective churches. So adding to that, so have I. So you have up here four either present or past youth leaders. We have at least three different churches represented in these four youth directors. So, I wonder what we should talk about tonight. You know, hey, Lord, would you lead us, God? Would you give us direction? Because, Lord, I do have an idea. And that is, let's talk about youth ministry. So we felt like he would bless that. And we thank God for the honor to serve him in any way, shape, or form. It is an honor to serve him. And when we are involved in a ministry, that's like God saying, I trust you. Praise God. I trust you. So, Kaylee Jones, I would like you to come if you would, because you're one of our wonderful young people. Would you sit up here front? Because I'm going to give our young people a chance maybe to sort of like think with us a little bit. Let's see, Alicia, would you come up here and sit close to? Don't we have some gorgeous young people? Oh, my lands. And they're very timid. They're very sweet and bashful. But they have such a bold pastor. But I love these young people. I love them more than I could even tell them tonight. They're very, very precious to God. And they're certainly very, very precious to me and my wife. And so thank you for all that you do. So we might pick your brains just a little bit. We'll just see how this goes, if you feel comfortable. So here's the opening question. Okay? Opening question. To these three men of God, in your experience in youth ministry, what would you say would be the biggest requirement or quality that a person would need to work in such a ministry? I'm going to defer, first of all, to Brother Scott.
Well, I would say, first of all, probably the biggest thing that you need is a love for the young people. Because you know, it kind of boils down to that. If you don't like kids, if you don't like teenagers, it's probably not the right ministerial fit for you.
Probably not.
But yeah, that's my answer. You know, if you love the young people, then you will be willing to do all the other things that these guys will talk about.
And may I say, one of the neat things that I like about young people is they can read you like a Sears Roebuck catalog. They don't even know what that is, but you and I, older ones, we know what a Sears Roebuck catalog is. You can't fool them. If you don't love them, they can tell it. And if you do love them, they can tell it and they can feel it. And I think that's a quality. All right, deferring now to Brother Josh Sandy.
I think the number one thing that I picked up on my time is you have to be very understanding. And because you have two sets of kids usually in a classroom, some that have been in church and some who have not. And to find a very even playing ground for them is sometimes very difficult, because what kids come out of at home is a huge part of what you're going to deal with in that class or wherever you're at. And it is entirely different ball game. So you have to be very understanding when they first come in, because you never know what you're going to get. And young people, it's you have about this much time to make an impact on their life, or they just do not want any part of it. So I think you have to be very understanding.
Beautiful. Brother Tim, what would you say would be the absolute necessary quality to work in youth ministry? Oh, believe me, there are some they've not mentioned.
I would say the one thing that, in my experience, when you get a large room, what I've noticed is you get a lot of clowns. It's like, you're not just one. And feed off each other.
We don't have any clowns in our church, right? Oh, forgive me, Jesus.
When they get smaller groups is where you see what you really are dealing with. I know I've actually been a youth leader a long time ago. I see a lot what they did, and I thought, man, okay, that's what you do. You sit back, you love that kid, do whatever I'm going to say, and then you address it later. Now, with me, it takes me a while to process stuff. It takes me a couple days. So something's asked of me by the kids, I tell them, give me a couple days. Give me the patience I'm giving you. So in my opinion, it's just the patience to get to know them, get to know what they like, what they don't like, what they, you know. Like Josh said, is you got a very small window, and that's the same. It's just, you don't even get 2 minutes. And already you've lost. You got to be a very patient person. And now, I do know that you don't pray for patience, and I never did. But you learn it.
Oh, that the Bible verse that says tribulation worketh patience. So that's frightened all of us away from praying for it. All right. Because we have enough tribulation in our lives without praying for it. Praise God. Well said, Brother Tim. Awesome. Okay. So coming back around. Second question. Second round. What are one or two of the biggest insights, Brother Scott, that you glean from working with young people?
One of the biggest things, I guess it's kind of like what Brother Tim was saying, is that you get to see further into people. You know, when you were just meeting people, and when you see people run around, especially you see the teenagers run around, they're happy and they're having a great time and they're making messes and things like that. But when you really get into youth ministry and you get the time to sit down and talk to these young people, and you can understand kind of what is happening in their lives, and even even if you're only a handful of years older than young people, I'm maybe 20 years older than them now. But when I was first a youth leader, I was like 10 years older than a lot of the kids, maybe less for some of the older kids. And the lives that they're leading is just so drastically different than how my life was growing up. And there are struggles that I've never struggled with, and there are spiritual problems that like I never thought of until you get into youth ministry and you get to talking to people and finding out what's going on, and that really that opened my eyes to see God is working in different ways, and God needs to work in different ways for every generation and for every person and every circumstance. So that's probably the biggest insight that I got with working with a diverse group of young people over the years.
Wonderful. Brother Josh, Sandy, what would be one of the biggest, one or two of the biggest insights that you gained?
I think two, that one we always did, and I think this is something that still affects me and my wife. My wife, actually, she should be up here because she was a great youth leader as well with me, because I could have never done it without her, because she was everything I'm opposite of. I'm quiet. She's anything but. And she's, and it worked out well because I was raised in church and she wasn't. And so we had a little bit of different insight as far as how kids were. But one thing we started as when we first got married, we made an agreement that at the end of every class, one thing we always did was let every kid know that we loved them as they left. And the reason was, when I was in Bible college, I had a professor tell me, he said, people generally only hear the words, I love you, once or twice a week. And so every class, we made sure we put an emphasis at the very end to let them know I love you. Because one, and this is one reason why we continued it for as long as we did, after one class, I remember one young man came up to me and said, you're the first person that's ever told me that. And it shook my life, because when I thought about that, I thought, this young man has never been told I love you. And it brought us to a place where kids trust you when they know you love them. And they know when you're real and when you're fake. And so I think that was always a big emphasis for us. And number two, this was one thing, and now that I'm not the youth pastor, I can say this for the youth pastor. This is the most thankless job in the world, oftentimes. You will have people's kids out 1 to 2 o'clock in the morning, bringing them home, making sure they get there. You hear all the drama, all the issues, all the things. And oftentimes this becomes a problem, because a youth pastor is there to help you raise your kids, not to raise your kids.
Oh, well said.
And I've had several situations where parents put little to no effort into getting their kids to the house of God, or putting them in camp, or doing anything along those lines, and then turn to the youth pastor if the kid is backsliding or doing something, and go, well, what's going on?
What's going on
here? I have them twice a week. You have them 7, or you should. And so oftentimes I think the parent, the stronger the youth person is, the stronger the home is what I've always felt. And so, and if you can help your youth pastor and giving him everything that you can, you'll be much more successful and so will your kids.
Please raise your hand I'm going to take that as a challenge to pray more over our youth leaders, Brother and Sister Sievert and our youth team, to pray over them on a regular basis. For 10 years, my wife and I ran a Christian school. For 10 years, you see this blonde hair I have now? Used to be dark brown. when I started that Christian school. But we had parents that wanted us to make Christians out of their little darlings. Only we just had them a few hours every day. They had them most of the week. And so it was like, we're paying you. What's the deal? What's going, you know, it's if we're not careful, we want the church to do what we should be doing. Like, do you have family devotions? Is there training? Do you know what a family conference is in your home when there's a difficulty and something to communicate about? Do you know how to stage a family conference? And the various principles that come in discipline, and loving discipline, and not abuse, but loving discipline. So these are powerful things that we're hearing tonight. Thank you. Tiffany, stay on that edge of your chair because we might bring you up here yet, all right? I heard her giggle, so I knew she was in the house. Amen, Brother Tim. We'll have to switch this over and give you a break. Yeah.
They face a lot of mental abuse from words that they hear. You know, that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, words may never hurt me.
One of the biggest lies in the world. Yeah.
And I know that encouragement to them. You know, one of the biggest things that I used to do, guys, in today's day and age, can actually live for God. It was so much easier for me now. It was quite a while ago when I was your age, over 30 years. It wasn't as hard as it is now. And any young people right now that can stand up and make a stand and say that they live for God, is pass off to you, because that is tough.
Not man.
A thing to do. Much easier than it is for adults. Don't ever think that your parents have it so tough. I really believe that kids have it the hardest, because they have so many negative influences on their lives. And with the social media, everybody knows, it just... You know, your name can go from one thing one day and just be total down the tube the next day by one person that's not like you. And I tell them. So, in my opinion, one of the things I try to do, or not opinion, one of the things I try to do is always encourage you. So
beautiful.
I'm proud of you.
Yes.
You guys are doing something that I couldn't do. You guys are stronger than me, because I could not do that, what you do every day.
Wow.
And that was, and they needed it.
Yeah.
So
they
didn't need to hear that. One of the biggest things I learned through my years of doing it. Now, unlike these two, I don't know. My passion for the youth wasn't, I never thought I wanted to be a youth leader. Just so everybody is clear on that. I believe these guys, I know Scott and Josh have a passion.
Yes.
And I can tell that Josh and Tiffany do.
Yes.
That was never my wheelhouse. That was not something that I said, I'm going to be a youth leader.
Honesty will get you everywhere.
But, you know, I accepted it. I said, okay, this is, I love kids. And
yes.
And I do believe the kids that I knew that I loved, because I did. I went out of my way, like Josh, you, when you were a youth leader, man, you got to go out of your way. It's not good. You learned the value of going out of your way for people. So that was part of the people like to be heard. Even if they say they're backward, I've noticed, I'm telling you, every single one of them.
I've seen it too, yes.
That they like. That's what you got to find. You got to find that thing that they like. And that's the one thing I would just sit around and watch them sometimes, see what they were interested in. And then I would just bring that up. And then, man, it just amazed me every time. And it never failed. You find something they like, they talk. Once they get to talking, they open up more. And I really believe it draws them closer to you. Just listening to them. I would
You also have no ear lids. You have eyelids, but you don't have any ear lids, which means keep your ears open. I think this is why we know him as Uncle Tim. I just got a feeling about that, you know, Uncle Tim. Outstanding, Tim. Absolutely outstanding. Wow. Now, you could take some of these things they're saying and apply to your marriage. Honey, you never listen to me. How's it going? Fine. How was your day? Fine. How many of you know that when the lady says fine, it wasn't fine? Okay, so anyway, you could apply these same principles. I'm sorry, I just threw that in there as a freebie. Now, in dedicating this to Brother Tim, I'm gonna say this next or share this next question, and it's an open. Anybody can dive in, okay? But it takes some real transparency to answer this. Here's the question. Was exhaustion in youth ministry a big deal? And if it was, how did you deal with it? Open panel. Who'll have the courage to grab that one?
You're both Brother looking Sandy. At me, so I guess. it's very exhausting because midwinter, you'll be out 2 days from like 6 till 1 o'clock in the morning, and then you're up at 8 and you're going till 2 in the afternoon, and camps and if a boyfriend or girlfriend problem, they're going to call you up and tell you about it, and that could be at 11 o'clock because they don't care that you have to work tomorrow, and it's just a lot. And so a lot of times me and my wife, we'd go out, I'd go fish or I'd go golf or something just to get away, to break that, and she would take the brunt for that day, or vice versa. She'd go shopping and I would take the hit that day. But we, your wife, I mean, you know as well as I do, it just has to be there with you a lot to help you, because especially today, it's just a different world, and put it just, I mean, you just have to take that time to recoup for yourself.
Good stuff. Okay, still open panel. Who else wants to grab a hold of that question? Was exhaustion a big deal to you when you, as you work or worked in youth ministry? And if it was, how did you deal with it? Now he's got 11 acres to deal with.
So I didn't have other things. I didn't have a wife that I had to. Now, for them, they had a wife that they also had to spend time with. So when you talk about exhaustion, it depends on where you're putting your time.
I told you there are many applications tonight. This is getting hot, man. This is awesome.
No, thank you. And I know Scott and Jess did. Levi was not youth age when they were first youth leaders. So I'll let him elaborate on his exhaustion, but to me it wasn't as bad.
Levi was born into youth ministry. I think as a toddler, he thought he was in the youth group.
As a toddler? That's called self-promotion.
So I mean, exhaustion is obviously a huge deal. Probably with just about any ministry that you give yourself to, there will be exhaustion. And I mean, like with youth ministry, maybe youth ministry is more exhausting because we don't have men's outings that, when you said you got done at Midwinter at 1 a.m., I have no idea what you're talking about because we were going until like 3 or 4.
Yeah, he forgot about the
time. Oh, okay. Did he go to bed early? All right. It's like 1 a.m. What? No. And I mean, like it takes a toll on your physical body. Like every 2 years is North American Youth Congress, I feel like I almost die every time. And like every year, like, you know, it's a 3-day thing. So probably on day like one, I'm like, what am I doing in youth ministry? Like, why am I here? Like, I should just go home and like just stay home forever. And you know, like, and physically after it's done, I get home, I'll sleep for like a day. And just, you know, silent my phone, hide in my house for as long as I can. But like this last year I was exhausted. It was, I mean, NAYC is always in the middle of the summer. It's always hot. There's always way too much walking. We're parking a mile away. Okay, well, I dropped off the kids, and then I parked a mile away and walked back. And it's a lot, but then we come to church after it, and the kids were up front, and they were praying, and they were worshiping, and I didn't have to poke them and prod them and drag them to the front. They were just up front worshiping, and my soul is refreshed. My body still probably needed a week or whatever, but my soul is refreshed, and we're like, all right, this is why I get in a van and I drive for 6 hours. This is why I get 4 hours sleep tops for like 3 days straight. Like, this is why it is worth it to be tired. And it happens. I need days off. I need weeks off. Back before the world went crazy, I had my 2 weeks off for youth camp, and then a week off after that for an actual vacation, so that I could recoup and survive after youth camp. But everything's—I mean, I feel refreshed now. We haven't done anything for real. But yeah, so it takes a toll on the body, but it is spiritually refreshing.
I think it's good for our kids to hear this kind of talk. Because I don't think that any of us fully appreciate the sacrifices that youth leaders make for their young people, for their churches. But now I want to take the same question and I want to turn it over, just like our world's been turned over by COVID. I want to turn this question over. And now I don't want to ask about your exhaustion concerning long hours and youth congresses and youth camps, and all that's important, and that could be one little quadrant, but I want you to come into another quadrant, and that is long-term exhaustion from just being, perhaps sometimes, if we were honest, feeling a little bit burnt out. Have you felt that? If you did, what did you do to answer that? Open panel.
I'll go first just because I've definitely felt long-term burnout. This is actually my second time around being a youth leader. The first time I was youth leader for 4 years, and When you're younger, there are pros and cons to it. My body worked better. You know, we did a lock-in. We're like, oh, we're going to stay up all night. We're like, all right, fine. Like, you don't even need to sleep when you're 20. Like, whatever. But I was less spiritually mature. And it takes a toll in order to effectively be in youth ministry long term. You need to take time to take care of yourself spiritually, which is probably one of the biggest things. And you know, the first time around, I'm sure I was not doing it well enough. I still don't think I'm, you know, still where I need to be spiritually. But if you're not praying every day, if you're not like in the Word, if you're not feeding yourself spiritually, the drain on—I don't want to say the drain on your spirit—that sounds horrible when talking about young people. But you're giving yourself away, and when you give yourself away, if you don't replenish yourself, you're gone. And I ran into that, and I stepped out of youth ministry for several years. That's when Brother Tim took over. And I had time to reflect, and I was like, all right, let me, you know, figure out what I want to do with my life. I'm like, and God still drew on my heart for youth ministry. And that's actually when I first tried working at camp, because I was like, this'll kill it. Like, I'm like, I'm gonna go work at a youth camp, and we're like, and that'll be completely out of my system. But while I was there, I felt God call me, and I'm like, all right, well, this is it. Like, I don't want to, you know, completely give up on ministry after working at camp for a week. Then I know it's the real deal. And it's been easier because, you know, I've grown as a Christian, and so I know. Especially, you know, if I'm pouring out of my spirit a lot, I need to take time and build myself up. I need to make sure that, you know, I'm hearing the preached word. And if I'm not in service or whatever, you know, listen to messages online. Like, get that spiritual food in. Make sure that I am praying. Especially, you know, if I know there's a big youth event coming up, pray a whole lot ahead of time, because I know that virtue is going to be poured out, and that has helped me to kind of stay sane and stay involved and not burn out in youth ministry this time around.
One of the greatest evangelists that the UPCI has ever had is a man that was in his heyday. Actually was almost a twin to Verbal Bean, who was one of the great, great evangelists that moved in the Holy Ghost. But this man's name was C.R. Free, a tremendous preacher. I preached in his church in Houston. Great man of God, but he used to say this. He used to say, you only have so many units of virtue, and once they're spent, they're spent. You only have so many units of virtue. If you exhaust yourself on one troubled person, if you wear yourself out on a high maintenance people project, you better make sure you have something left over. Don't spend all your units of virtue just in one direction. So, all right, still open panel on this question, like the longer, deeper exhaustion, not just from meetings and long hours, which, by the way, I don't know how these guys have done it, but the deeper, bone deep exhaustion, Brother Sandy.
I think with youth ministry, because when you got tired and it would be wearing on you a lot, I think Brother Sleva gave us the best thing. I think it's one thing I've kept from Bible college that I'd never forgotten. It kind of always motivated me to do more, was this phrase, exposure breeds a burden. And some people will live their whole life thinking, I wish God would call me to do something. I wish God would call me to do something, but they never exposed themselves to any ministry to be called to. And once you get a calling for youth ministry and you really love it, no matter how tiring it got and no matter how wearisome it became, it was something you would be refreshed in by seeing the rewards of what the kids did. The because I still now, I mean, well, occasionally I'll get a phone call from one of our young people that's in church somewhere. Hey, Brother Sandy, I'm teaching a class this week. That refreshes you because you know those years of sacrifice you put in are now being beneficial, and I can laugh at some of them because now they're youth leaders, and I get to let them know. Remember them days, you know?
Remember
what you did to me and all these moments? But it's to see that. And when you expose yourself to those things, if it's any ministry, God will give you such a burden for it. Once you do expose yourself to it, that it'll keep you coming back. It's like a, I don't want to say, it's like a drug. It's like you keep coming back to it because it is. You love it. You do. I remember my last week that we had our young people. It was the hardest thing for me in the world to give that up, but because it was something that the Lord had, you know, given to you in that birthing process, and so it was a challenge. But the Lord will renew you.
Okay, I want to spin and pivot right now onto something Brother Sandy just said. And so I'm going to pivot into a question that was in the lineup, but I'm going to bring it right up into the next question because it will pivot right off of this brilliant expose here that he just walked us through. And that is, can you tell us of course, we know what this expression means now, of a yes moment or a win or some fruit that you saw as you worked in or later looked back toward the youth ministry that you labored in. So I'm coming off it kind of, I think Brother Scott also sort of hinted at this. Is there something, now I'm going to tell you what, as a pastor, when these kids came directly from North American Youth Congress, and I know it was exhausting that Brother Scott doesn't know how much in the background I try to keep stuff off of him when he comes back from a youth event. It's like I'm scurrying around trying to keep everything off of him for him and Jess for about a week, you know, so they can rest up a little bit, you know. But these young people, these amazing young people walked into this building and it's like they carried the glory of God. I'm serious, into a service. I felt it. Give me a witness out there. You talk about fruit. You talk about a win. When you see your young people come from a great youth meeting and they come with a new anointing on them, they're down running to the altar and worshiping and praying and praising. They are at that point not only blessing their own hearts, but blessing the entire congregation. I would call that a win. Do I have any takers in this open panel? Praise God.
I guess I'll go next. actually, one of the wins I would say that I saw was, we'll be here with us Sunday.
Yes.
Sister Casey Reed now. I saw from the beginning, she was a good girl, obviously, but she had a turnaround at one point where she went, she totally consecrated her life to God. And it really, what I was talking about, she was one that I told her, at one point in time she said something to me, and I don't exactly know the phrase, something like, she didn't have a story of coming from a bad element, and now she can become good. I said, listen, you have a story of, you have led your life the best you could, and nothing ever took you down.
Praise God.
I've never seen anything for you. I mean, all of us, you know, a lot of people that I know from growing up in the youth and being in church, I only know a couple that are still in church. So for you, Casey, you have never strayed. And that is unbelievable.
That's a testimony.
Such strength.
Yes.
Strength. And she's very intelligent. And,
yes, she is.
And over the years, I've noticed it's typically more intelligent people have more issues with stuff in the Bible because they overthink things. Like,
mm-hmm. Good insight. Very good insight.
So to me, it's easy. I'm, you know, I'm sure you guys.
Brother Tim puts himself down, but let me tell you what, I want to just interrupt him briefly, all right? Because he does this with me too, so I don't let him get by with it, because this is what I tell him, and it's true. Brother Tim might not be book learning, but you have street savvy. That's what you got, buddy. You got street savvy, so you are smart when it comes to street savvy.
So the fruit of watching her grow and develop into what she is, Barry, I know, is in ministry.
Yes.
I believe it's missions.
Yes. Is it missions? I believe it's home missions in their state. Now, they've been leaders. Yeah.
And I know when she got out of the youth group, she had a puppet ministry. Like I say, she used that intelligence for her benefit.
Yes.
This is where people write books about it. Sunday school is people like her, you know? Everything she did, she enjoyed working in God's kingdom, and God rewarded her for doing it very well. And just rewarded her. I mean, they have a beautiful, their lives and what they give to other people is just great, because they are encouraging to everybody they meet, and they just do wonderful.
Yes.
I've had a couple of other, you know, you impact people, that fruit comes back to you. I had a phone call about a year ago, I would say, and I know they were going through a situation. I get emotional sometimes, and I'm trying not to get too emotional, but they called me and said, you were the first person I thought of.
Oh, wow.
There was something you had said one time, and it blew, because I didn't even remember saying it.
Wow.
Sometimes you say things. And this person said, you were the first person I called, because I don't know how to handle this, and I just need somebody to be strength. And I thought, wow. Even though that person's not in church, I gave something, and there is fruit there. They know, they understand
yes.
the thought that I tried to instill to them. And that's
praise God.
Know, some of the things that, to me, that kind of fruit really is. Words can't really describe how it feels when you do something. When something like that happens to you.
Why don't we lift our hands and thank God for the youth leaders that have been in our lives. God, we so appreciate the men and women, Lord, that you have used in our lives to help us stay on track, to speak to us and to listen to us and to work with us and to mold us and shape us, Lord. God, I just ask you right now to bless and touch each one of these, Lord, through the years, not only these that are up here, God, these amazing folks that are up here, but the ones through the years that have so inspired us. I had a youth leader. I was a teeny bopper. I was so on fire for God, I was going out knocking on doors with me and my brothers, and we lived 8 miles from the church. We didn't even have an adult to lead us in that. We were taking on Jehovah Witnesses and debates. It was so much fun. Had so much fun. They called us the apostles at my high school. I considered that a compliment, and had my little brother pray over he was the last of the Meadows brothers, had him praying over the graduation class instead of a local pastor that spoke at the baccalaureate. They had my little brother pray over the seniors that were graduating. I took that as a compliment. But I had a youth leader, tall, beautiful, lithe, you know, slender, full of energy. And actually, if I could use a descriptive word when I think of her tonight, I would say angelic. I would say angelic. She was prayerful. Never heard her say a negative word about anybody. So positive. Her husband was in the Air Force, and so he was stationed in Spokane. And they were there. And, of course, they've lived now for years in North Carolina. But I will never forget this youth leader, how she impacted my heart. Out of that little church of 50 came the first national Bible quiz champion team. I just feel like we need to stop. I feel the touch of God on us right now. Would you lift your hands? Let's soften the lights. I feel such a gratefulness. Praise God. I feel such a sweetness of God in the room. Wonderful God. I give you praise, Lord. I give you thanks, Lord.